Thank you, Lindell. Amen. I bet her daddy was listening to that one. Amen.
Amen.
Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to Joshua chapter number 11 tonight. And I want to kick off there again. And if you're in the tape room, I don't want to steer. Be different. Don't leave yet. I'm not going to preach the exact same thing I preached this morning. Amen. But there are folks in the building today that we're serving this morning in different areas of our ministry, and we want to bring them up to speed with what we did. We won't take as long as we did this morning to do that, but we'll preach in the same area. For the tape room, it will be Leaving Nothing Undone, Part 2. Amen. Amen. See, we already got them leaving. Amen. Sorry, couldn't help it. So, something I missed and something that I wanted to share with the church and is going to be a blessing to our ministry. One of the new Sunday school classes that we're starting is for a death class. And we will be having Brother Williamson will be teaching the class. And want you to be able to help us with that by praying as we prepare to do that. It'll just be in the upcoming weeks that we'll be starting that class. But one of the things that we need from our church is prayer. And we need you to know, if you know someone who has a person that we could minister to do in that way, that could be a part of that Sunday school class, if you come across somebody on knocking doors on Saturday, please write that down so that we can send folks back and we can tell them there's a place here for them, that Landmark is interested in reaching the deaf folks, and we want them to be able to have a place in a class that's just for them. And so again, we want you to be able to, if you know someone who's connected to someone, please let us know so that we can follow up and we can go after those folks. And I again, this morning, as we try to share our heart about some things, won't go as far as we did last, but please pray with us about that. And again, as we meet different things, I want to just say to the men, I know many of you looking at the what I spoke about this morning about the two-story and the memorial building, there's more there than our staff. We already have a summer full of work before we take on these projects in the next year. And so again, with our men in the upcoming weeks, we're going to try to have a meeting after church on Sunday night and try to let you know how you can be a part of it and how you can get involved and if you have extra time to be a part with us. And so just give us a little bit of time. We wanted to present the vision and the need of the money, and then we'll keep letting it out in stages. And even ladies, as we get closer to the end, when it gets to the foo-foo part, you know what I mean? The paint and all the things that will go on, the finishing things that happen there, we want you to be involved as well. And so we want to be able to have all those things as a part, and we want to be able to employ our people that want and have time to be a part of it. Just let me say this before I pray and we begin the message tonight. It is a great need. If you drive through town, you'll see that the building is already, it has some disrepair. Some of the things that have happened recently have been us already starting the project, and some of the windows being missing. And can I take this microphone? I don't know if it's going to stretch all the way over here. So it's bad radio when you go dead. Amen. And so I think this is about where it would be, but I'll just say I'm almost there. I'm going to move it up a little bit. There is already, someone's already given $10,000 to the project. And, you know, there are, just think about it, folks, in the need there in the building. There's a lot of building there. It is older, needs some renovation. It's older than our tower building, but there are 84 windows in that building. It is an old Florida building, and that's how they cooled it back in the day, was you open the window and let the breeze flow through. And so we're not planning on closing any of those up. We don't want to change the structure in that way. We just simply want to put it back together and put it back so that it's functional for the Lord. And so I want you to pray with us about it. And if God blesses you and you can give to it, we want you to be able to do that as well. I won't go too much farther than that and run the pictures down and everything tonight, just to say, because we're going to run the banner and we're going to try to put it in front of folks so that they can see that there's a need, not only on the internet but also on the banner before the service. And I want you to really make it a matter of prayer, because there's more than just the money. There's going to be a need of our physical labor down there as a church. We're going to need to throw in together and work on it and to see it happen. And that's not something that's not strange to Landmark. We've done that before and we can do it again. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, as we come to you tonight, dear God, as we open your word, and again, we just look in the book, God, for encouragement as we go out into the different ways that you have us serve you during the week, and whether it be here at the church or whether it be in a job, wherever our folks go, God, I pray that you would help the word of God tonight. Go with us. Seat something inside of us that we might meditate upon it in the next few days. And as we look to come back at midweek and be together, God, I pray that you'd give us something, God, that would help us and strengthen us for your honor and glory. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in Joshua chapter number 11, I gave you a verse, and I don't want to... Pastor Carter, again, I told you about the Bible he gave me, and he wrote down one of the verses he chose for himself. If you'll be in Joshua chapter 11, I read the verse this morning, and verse 8 is the one that he said that he claimed and he used for himself. And verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." I don't know if you know this. I did not say this morning, but that is the only place you'll find in the King James Bible the word success is found. And again, only by following the word of God and the plan of God will you find good success. In Joshua chapter 11, again, to not take too much time tonight, for those of you that were not in the service or did not get to hear it, replayed at 2 p.m., in Joshua chapter 11 and verse 15, I said that I was going to claim this verse for my ministry here. As we presented the need and the work and all the things that will go forward from here, God called me here to help Pastor Carter finish well. And my ministry is going to continue on that way. There are so many things that Pastor Carter began, things that were in his heart to do. And again, one lifetime is not enough to serve the Lord. Amen. Moses worked and worked and worked and served God and served the people. And he came to a day where God called him home. And Joshua continued his work. And here in chapter 11 and verse 15, we see, "As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses." It is my desire in my heart and all these things here in the ministry, and preached on that this morning. I just, again, I bore my heart, but I want to say this, and I think sometimes we can preach about a desire, but how are we going to reach that plateau? So again, in part two, if I could say leaving nothing undone, I want to preach on, how does a person leave nothing undone? How does a person leave nothing undone? I want you to look at the scripture. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6, where we were this morning. And I want to go through some things and just give you some points and give you some things, some harder ideas that are not, they're not for just the preacher or not for just the pastor that is following Pastor Carter, but for the church member. Let me say this and try to bring you into what's going on. You know that this place has had folks, if you go down to the tower building, there are names and plaques of people who gave and gave and gave until it hurt. There are names of people upon those plaques that not only gave, but then they went down with their own two hands and spent night after night after night. After they had worked all day, they went down to that place and worked to the late and wee hours of the morning, and sometimes worked up until church time and came and went to church and then changed their clothes and they went back to work. To serve God, not to serve man, not to serve some idea, but to serve the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And those names, some of you tonight sit in the same pews, and you are sitting in the spot of some, I mean, person that, if I could just say it, are the greatest saints that have ever lived on this side of heaven. Some of God's choicest servants that have ever served in one place, served in this place, and carried the torch through their generation and now have passed it on to the people that sit in the building tonight. And so again, how do we do that? We have to take up the torch. It's not just the pastor that needs to leave nothing undone. It's the people that need to leave nothing undone. They need to see that there was somebody that they that maybe helped you get into building, or somebody that invested in your life, and somebody that told you, hey, you can serve God with everything that you are. Maybe that person isn't here at Landmark, but there's somebody somewhere else. Maybe it was a Wally Hartwig or a Herman Hill. Maybe it was Mike Pritchard. Maybe it was one of those men that invested in your life, and you could point to them and say, man, that God got in them and changed them, and Jesus Christ made them a brand new person for His honor and glory. And man, look what they did, what they had. I could list them off. I would be remiss. There are too many to name. As I look across the auditorium, there's many more that I could name. I can tell you of times that I stood out at camp and Brother Clyde Conley bent metal and I put it on the roof. And he bent metal and I put it on the roof. And I said, just bring us. We don't need matching 10. It's camp. We don't need matching 10. It's camp. Just bring us the leftovers and we'll bend it and we'll put it up there. And he said, no, this is God's camp. We'll put brand new metal on that building. We won't be putting multicolors on God's building. We're going to bend the same. We'll bend brand new metal. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, there are some people that have gone before that have left a testimony for us to live up to. There are people to be a member of the Landmark Church ought to mean something to you because of all those that have gone before us. They've set a standard of service that I desperately want to live up to, that I want to see God do something in our life. And how are we going to do that? Here in Isaiah, and I said it this morning, but I think first and foremost, we have to see God high and lifted up in our lives. Look with me, if you would. Here in chapter 6 and verse number 1, we see Isaiah is saying some things. It time stamps the writing of the chapter. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Now, I'm not going to try to take it out of context, but just let me say this. As a preacher, as somebody who has surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that there was a day that I got saved, and I saw how undone I was, and I preached on that this morning, and I preached on how I felt I was a man of unclean lips, and I was not righteous, and I needed Jesus Christ. But there was also a day that I realized He was not just my Savior, but He deserved to sit upon the throne room of my heart, that He didn't need to be second place to nobody, and especially not second to me. He needed to set up and be above me in every one of my needs, every one of my wants. Jesus and Him crucified needed to be paramount in every one of my thoughts. My life and every piece of my being needed to be secondary to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As a Christian, we need to come to a place where we see God in our lives sitting upon a throne. Not just one up in heaven, but in our own lives. He is in my heart and in my mind sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. When I come into the church building, you know, and I know that this doesn't always ring everybody's bell and everybody get all excited about dressing up for church, but I don't dress up just because I want to. I hate a tie. I'm just here to tell you, I love when the summertime comes. I love it when I get to come into work and not wear the tie and just get to go and sweat at camp and work. And you say, oh, you don't really love that. I love it because I don't have to wear this choker thing all everywhere I go. I don't wear this at camp, bless God. I mean, amen. You say, why do you wear it? Because again, our standard, if I went to see the old fake president down the street, I'd probably wear the tie because I'm honoring the position. When I come to church, I want to dress up and honor how high and lifted up God is in my life. It's this dress isn't a standard of my accomplishments for the Lord. It's just trying to honor Him. And many of you sitting here tonight, and I realize what you wear to your work every day, probably what you wear to church. I don't want you to think you got to look just like the preacher, but man, I want to tell you, when I come to church, I want to dress up a notch for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I want to see Him high and lifted up. I want you to see this. Joshua saw Him high and lifted up. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. Now, I'm not going to take you to the place, and I know that you know that Moses had a servant named Joshua. We kind of started in chapter 11, and he didn't want to leave anything undone, but I want you to know that Joshua saw the Lord high and lifted up. And we're not going to go back and see just You know, I can only imagine there were two men on that mountain. On Mount Sinai, when the lightning was cracking, and that mountain was, I mean, again, if you went to that place where it truly is, not the one they call Mount Sinai, but the true mountain in Turkey, and you went there and saw the carvings and the burnt, charred top of that mountain, what it was really like for the presence of God to set down, and for the finger of God to write upon tablets of stone, for even a man not to be just, Moses was so close to God that his face shone with the glory of being in the presence of God, but imagine what it was like to be his servant, to be just down the hill a little ways. Everybody else was off the mountain. Everybody else was scared to death. They told Moses, cover your face up. We can't even stand to look at you. But that's not what Joshua said. Joshua stood just a little ways off from where Moses was and got to see him have conversations with God. Not just on the mountain. Look here in the scripture, if you would. Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 9. Look at it with me. Exodus 33 and verse number 9. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. Look at this. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. You know, as Moses talked with God face to face, there was a man sitting back and being trained. And he saw the man of God stand face to face with God and have a conversation. He didn't run away. He wasn't like everybody else watching from afar off. He got to watch it firsthand, up close and personal. I don't know about you, but I don't want to play second fiddle. I want to talk with God. I want to see him high and lifted up. And I thank God that I put myself. I believe that I'm talking to people who have had the opportunity to not just, listen, you're not necessarily following as the pastor, but you got to be in this place, and you got to be with a man of God that face to face walked with God and lived with God and was been with God. You've been around other people and believers that sat next to you that you know their walk with God was real. You know that when they prayed, they could get a hold of God. And we need to desperately follow those folks in their belief and in their faith and walk with God. We need to step up. We need to come to a place where we put God and we see him in our lives high and lifted up. Can I just say it like this? We don't need to live on somebody else's Christianity anymore. We need to see God high and lifted up in our own lives. I want to see it as reality in my own life, not that somebody else believes that God is high and lifted up, or that the scripture says God is high and lifted up, but in my own life, God is high and lifted up. How could I do that, preacher? How am I going to have God high and lifted up in my life? Where do you put him in your life? Is he the first person that you speak to in the morning? Amen. Is he the last person at night? Amen. Psalms 55, the Bible says, at morning and evening and at noon will I praise thee. Amen. Hey, folks, can I just tell you, my wife is important to me. I miss her when I'm not with her. Amen. I have a phone, a smartphone, and every once in a while when I'm not with her, I text her and tell her how much I love her. Sometimes I even use emojis. Some of you don't even know what that is. Amen. Only good emojis. Okay, so. But you say, what do you mean by that? I'm just telling you because I'm thinking about her. Do you know when God is high and lifted up in your life, you can't live your day without thinking about him. You can't go morning, evening, and noon all through the day and never do anything but pray and say grace and thank you for the food and move on with your life. You not only want to pray to him, but then you want to reach into his word and let him speak back to you. You want to get and tell him, I can tell you when I really put God on the throne, I didn't just ask God for the things that I wanted or that I needed. I got started by saying, God, can I tell you how good you are? God, let me tell you how good you are and how good you've been to me in the past. And if you never did one more thing for me, I'd tell you what, you've done more than I ever deserve. But thank you, God, for being a good God, one that hears and answers prayer. Thank you for listening to me each and every day. And then I try to tell him how sorry I am that I've broken his heart in the past. And then I go to him for the needs of others. And then I try to put myself last. Amen. And say, God, I'd really like to see you do this. God, would you do this? I know this is your will. I found it in your word. Would you do that for me today? Hey, folks, we desperately need to come to a place in our life where God is high and lifted up. And we spend time with him every day in prayer and in our Bible reading. It will affect others.
Yeah.
I've already talked about Wally Hartwig at graduation and others, but there are people and members in this church that their walk with God and the way they lift God up, it affected my life.
Right.
I saw that their walk was real. When I didn't think, listen, when we were working late some nights, God's people would show up, and they weren't getting paid to be there with me. My 40 was up a long time ago, if there is such a thing in the ministry. And they stayed, and they helped me finish what we were doing.
Right.
I thank God for people. Listen, they didn't do that for me. I'm thankful for people that love me. I'm thankful for people that love my preacher. But that's only going to go so far, folks. Sometimes that'll only get you to show up at the two-story and to work when I'm there or when preacher's there. I can't always be there. Preacher can't always be there. But that'll make you show up because God's always there. And he's always watching. And he's always seeing. And when you show up, you're lifting him up. I'm not doing this just for the preacher. I'm here for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's high and lifted up in my life. I'm going to come and make sure that his building gets done. I'm going to make sure the things that the preacher, that God laid upon his heart, I'm going to see those things done because I know that's God's will. I know that's what God wants for our church and our ministry. He says this, he says, I think that Joshua, man, I can tell you, can I just see some of the similarities? He said the smoke filled the tent, that train came down from heaven. Look at verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with the smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched this thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, thy sins are purged. And then look at verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, not the voice of the seraphim, but the voice of who? The Lord. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. All too often in this life, we only use that verse for missions. All too often, we attribute, here am I, Lord, send me, to some far off and distant land, instead of, here am I, Lord, send me right across the street to do your will. Here am I, Lord, send me to the bus lot so that I can see little kids come in. Here am I, Lord, send me to work security to protect God's people. Here am I, Lord, send me to the nursery to change diapers. Amen. Amen. I caught somebody off guard. Amen. Here am I, Lord, send me. Hey, folks, number two. You just don't need to see God high and lifted up in your life. That's the starting point. Put him up on the throne room of your heart. But then you need to surrender to the will of God for your life.
Amen.
Without a doubt, every believer in this life will come to a place, a crossroads in their life, where God speaks to your heart about what you ought to do. Not just, it may not be forever. You may not get to serve in one place for 50 years. But you will come to a crossroads of your life, and you will come to a place where God says, whom will I send and who will go for us? Who's going to go out there and take that? I don't hear that voice all the time, but I can tell you there have been a few times where I see something that needs done. I remember when I was a layman in my home church and I was working my own job, and I remember I would see something as I came into the building that needed done. And I would find the preacher somewhere and I said, preacher, I saw this on the way in. Do you care if I take care of that for you? Can I fix that? I'll take care of it this week. He said, well, we can get you this stuff. No, 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 preacher. I'll take care of it. I'll get it done. Is it all right if I take care of that for you? He said, man, I wish you would take care of that. Listen, when God speaks to a man's heart, you don't have to check all the boxes and pray about it for 6 weeks. If God says, whom will I send and who will go for us? We don't see this great span of time or you know, different phrase where Isaiah decided, well, man, I ought to pray for this for 6 months. He says, here am I, Lord, send me. Ain't no need to look in any farther, God. If you're looking for somebody, you found him right here. I'm your man. You say, come on now. Everybody can't be like that. Everybody can be like that. Because I serve a God in heaven who doesn't just, you know, he doesn't just look and say, well, if you feel like it today. He knows who you are. He knows your gifts. He knows when that Holy Spirit of God speaks inside of you and says, you ought to do that. Everybody ain't hearing that. I remember sitting down with my father-in-law, and I said to him, I said, I believe, you know, I think God's calling me to preach. I just feel like I got to go. I got to go do this. And I was like, you know, and I said, well, doesn't everybody feel like that when the preacher preaches? He goes, I ain't never felt like that. But I did. I sat in the pew and I thought, everybody is tugged on the heart. Everybody's called to preach like me. Everybody is ought to go do this and ought to go do that. And I have to find God's perfect will. Like God's will is some pin the tail on the donkey. And I'm trying to find God's will for my life. That's not how it is. God knows where you are. God knows what's in your heart. God knows what you can accomplish. And he will direct you in the area and in the direction that he wants to point you in. And when he says, whom will I send? He knows who he's talking to. And all, listen, and folks, we need to come to a place of surrender where we say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Oh, man. I think sometimes we get so mixed up. We get so far out into the world. Think about the way Joshua did this. Joshua lived a life of service. I don't see anywhere in the scripture where God asked him if he wanted to follow Moses up. I don't see anywhere where he got a shot to get in or get out. You know what I'm thinking? I know you served Moses all this time. What do you think about taking the thing over? No. He didn't get an option to get out. You got into service and you now all of a sudden Moses has gone out of the sea. Now you got to keep going. You said, here am I, Lord. I'm going to continue to send you. Hey, folks, you say, well, what about, you know, where's the jumping off point? Well, when's Jesus coming back? When Jesus comes back, when I get the jumping off point and I get to go to heaven. Amen. When do I get to quit Sunday school? When Jesus comes back. Amen. When do I get to quit the bus route? When the insurance says you can't drive it no more. Amen. Amen. You say, come on, preacher, I'm just telling you, we all too often, we think the jumping off point has something to do or some level. No, surrender is surrender. Surrender ought to be a finality. We do realize in the Christian life, the Bible says that I have to take up my cross daily. That means even though I walked down to an altar one day and I surrendered my heart and life every day of my life. Remember when I said seeing God high and lifted up in my life? I have to battle, just like every one of you, every day that pride doesn't get lifted up in my heart and I don't say, I'm going to do what I want to do today. I have to work every day at picking up, putting down the old man and picking up the cross of the new man and walking on that day for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't wake up every day and feel like, hey man, I'm spiritual man. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to do this. No, it's just like you. Some days I have aches and pains. Some days my head hurts. Amen? Look at this head. You know it hurts some days. And I wake up, and I got a headache, and I have to go, man, what's going on? I haven't thought one iota about God today. God, I'm sorry that I didn't put you first today. To wake up and say, what was I thinking about what I want? Or what's going to happen to me? Hey, folks. God is high and lifted up. When you see him that way, boy, you surrender to him. And it's such a great life of surrender. Every day, I don't have to look for what I want. Because the lust of the flesh and the eyes, can you imagine how we would run to and fro to all the things and the vices of this world? But I got one goal. I wake up and I look for my cross. Where did I set it down before I laid down last night? Let me pick my cross up and carry it today. Don't think just the preacher. I got to pick my cross up and go on to work today. I got to pick my cross up and take my kids to school today. Way too often we set the cross down. That's what they call Christianity on Sunday. Yeah. Then I go live how I want to on Monday. No, we carry the cross all week. Come back and bring it to church with us. Not just seeing God high and lifted up, but seeing God for who He is and then surrendering to the will of God. Here am I, Lord. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. I must hasten. Joshua 24. Let me show you what it was like. Here am I, Lord, send me, in Joshua's life. Joshua's come to the end of his life, and he brings the people to a place. He gets them to this thing, and he's not just dealing with one-on-one like Isaiah was. He's dealing with the collective. He's dealing with a nation of people, and many of you have heard this verse over and over again, but I just want you to hear it one more time. I want you to see it one more time. He comes to chapter 24 and verse 14. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Again, like Joshua, I beg you tonight not to serve the gods that you served before you got saved. I beg you not to serve the God of self. I beg you not to serve the God or surrender to the things of this world. I beg you not to lay down and surrender to just this old world and tiredness and achingness and all the things that you could quit for. Don't surrender to any of those. But find yourself again surrendering to a holy God and saying, I'm re-upping for service. Here am I, send me. And say, as for me and my house, hey, mom and dad, please listen up. Joshua didn't give him an option. He didn't turn around to his kids and say, "Do you want to go to church? Do you want to serve God?" He said, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I just want to, I believe more than anything in this life, if you say, "Well, how do I get my kids to surrender to the will of God?" Surrender to the will of God yourself. Train up a child in the way that he should go. That is always best shown by example. Not just with lip service, but with actions. The best way to see your children pick up their cross and carry it is for you to pick up yours and walk on. I told you this before, but I'll tell you it again. My children, I told my children this. I think I was probably pre-kindergarten years. I was sitting beside, I had one of those old play school blocks where you drive the little blocks through. Had the old wooden hammer and the wooden pegs. I mean, you know, you can't, you know, that would be like $800 now because wood is going crazy. Amen. So I was taking that wooden peg and I'd put my thumb on top of the peg and I would whack my thumb. And then I'd say a bad word because that's what my daddy did. I'd seen my daddy do that over and over again. I'd put my thumb on that peg and I'd whack my finger with my hammer. And I think to myself, my mama came and scolded me. And my mom would bring that up through this life. And my dad said, "I'm so thankful for the day that I got saved. And I gave all that over to the Lord." And I can tell you, as a young man, you know what I followed my dad in? I grew up laying underneath the buses, working on them so they could run on Sunday. After we worked on them all night, we went and cleaned up a little bit and put our church clothes on, and we got on. My dad would drive the bus. My dad drove the bus, and he was a bus captain. My dad became a deacon in our church. I've told you all this before, but when my dad got saved, he didn't know all the refined things that you ought to do in the church. My dad was a trash man, had a trash company, picked up trash for city. The first thing, he didn't know what he was supposed to do. He just went in and wanted to do something for the Lord, and he got saved, and he said, "Now, preacher, you ain't got to worry about the trash around this place. I'm going to take care of it. I'll haul the trash to the dump. That's what I can do." Because that's what he did. Hey, folks, I don't know what you do, and I don't know what God's got in your heart, but I know this. He's calling on you. He's calling on you to surrender to Him. He's waiting for you to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And then we need to stay the course. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Many of you know this verse, and we could read it over and over again, but as a believer, this is something for me that I know this, that one day I want to stand before the Lord and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And if there's somebody in the Bible that I could point to that I could say, I believe they're going to hear pretty good, well done, it would be the Apostle Paul. He had a pretty bad history. He and Moses would run neck and neck for a murderer, for men that God called that were unseemly men, educated men that God used in a powerful way. And Paul here, he comes to a place in his life and he's writing to his son in the faith. Chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. We've all heard it. We've heard it before. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Look at verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love is appearing. The Apostle Paul wrote about a day. He said, listen, I've heard of a preacher. He said, I believe it was Harold B. Seitler. Somebody asked him if he knew Brother Seitler. He talked like he had a box of rocks in his throat. He said, Brother Seitler, you fought a good fight.
I don't know if I fought a good fight, but I sure been in a good fight.
Hey, I don't want to just be in a good fight. One day I want to stand before the Lord, the righteous judge, and hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. We talked about building and battling and believing this morning, and all of those will come along somewhere in our Christian life and in our ministry. We'll have to build and we'll have to battle for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's times when others seem to wane and we'll need to stand up in belief for the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. And those are our fights. Those are our battles. The battle of salvation has already been won. The Lord Jesus Christ has already come and paid all that needs to be paid for you to go to heaven. And if you're here tonight and you're not a church member, or maybe you are, but you do not know 100% that you're on your way to heaven. You don't know if you died today that heaven would be your home. Jesus has paid everything that needs to be paid for you to get there. All you have to do is simply put your trust. That means not trusting in your own strength and in your own works or in anything on this side of heaven, but simply putting your faith and trust in the Son of God and His finished work of Calvary. Just putting it upon Him. Listen, if you've not done that, today could be the day of salvation for you. Believer, if you're here and you've never had that moment in your life of surrender to the things of God and what God has for your life, surrender to Him tonight. Maybe you've been here for a long time and maybe there's been some hardships in your past and you have come to a place of seeing God in the throne room of your heart, or you've surrendered to the work of God, or even come to a place where you wanted to stay the course, to finish well. But whatever one of those stages maybe has waned in your life, come and talk to God about it tonight. Re-up for Him. Say, God, remind me, help me to carry my cross every day. God, help me to surrender to You when I call. Help me to give when You tell me to give. Help me to go when You tell me to go. Hey, folks, the only way that Haines City, Davenport, and all this area is going to come to Christ is if Landmark Baptist Church, every member gets to the place where when we come and see somebody across the gas pump or we see somebody across the street, we say, here am I, Lord, send me. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet tonight? If God has spoken to your heart, don't wait for the pianist. The Brother Bird is coming, the pianist is coming, but step out and come. Come and do business with God. If you're here tonight and you do not know Christ as your Savior, but you'd like to know Him, you'd like to trust in Him tonight, would you come and meet me in the front? Let me take the Bible and show you how to be saved. I'd love to do that tonight. Brother Bert, would you sing?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender all. humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now.
Tonight, if you're at an attitude of prayer and we think about surrender and all the things, this life is not easy. We know that. So many of our friends have lost loved ones, some of our graduates in recent days and months. And I can only imagine how hard it is to keep picking up the cross and going on. I look across the auditorium and I see God's people. Some of them have having tough times. Things changing in their lives, things that they never thought would change, and needing to pick up their cross and carry on. Listen, folks, maybe you didn't need the message like somebody else did tonight, but with your heads bowed, you don't have to come to the altar. But as we sing one more, if you know somebody in this building that needs prayer, I pray that you'd lift their name up to God tonight. As a church family, we need that desperately. Brother Burt, would you lead us in one more song?
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine.
Thank you, church. I've been able to share my heart and vision, and I know that several people have come to me and told me that they're with us and that they want to pull and keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I thank you so much for that, and it's encouraging to your pastor, and I know it's encouraging to Pastor Carter, and I want you to continue to pray for Miss Carter. You know, she's not feeling good, and so just lift her up in prayer this week. But we have a couple meetings to go to right now, amen? And so we'll dismiss you to those meetings. If you're a teenager or a parent, and you can come right on down here, down front. I want you to keep moving on. I've already preached so long that if you don't move, we're going to be here all night. Keep moving, all right? Get moving. And then if you're a staff man, if you